Hello and welcome to Questcast, your weekly adventure through games. I've got a few things to talk about today with me and Caitlin. So let's get started. Pathfinder Kingmaker, we played a lot of that. What do you think of it? I think it's good. I'll explain more.
You think it's good?
Well, I'm confused about it, but yes. Continue.
Wait, confused?
I'll explain after you tell me what you think.
I don't know. I don't hate it, I guess.
You don't hate it? Well, I thought the story stuff is like really well done.
Yeah.
But the combat's very hit and miss. No. The combat is very unforgiving, I guess.
In some ways. I don't know. To me, I'm right off the bat, I was confused by it, to be honest. The whole difficulty system to begin with.
I liked the difficulty options. It's just they...
No. Because here's the thing.
Yep.
When you start on what is called normal...
Oh, normal's impossible.
And you are... No, but you read it and it's like, oh, you take like 20% less damage and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, that's not normal then. Like normal is you take the appropriate amount of damage.
Yeah, that's true.
That was, you know, designed for the game. Like what your, what they, like what the normal was really like the first easy.
Yep. No, I'll agree with
that. And then it went into difficult or hardcore or something. Like it went into the next one that was you take the normal amount of damage, plus the enemies are harder and blah, blah, blah. But that was like the first step of like the harder level.
Yeah.
And like there was no actual like we've made a level that is you take exactly the normal amount of damage and the enemies are normal.
Well, and you can make that yourself by customizing.
I know, but you shouldn't have to.
No, you shouldn't.
Like the normal should be the neutral of everything and that's how it should start and it should be fucking playable like that.
Yes. So what I've seen a lot of people complain about, and I agree, is that if you do choose the normal difficulty, you just go into so many combats missing everything, which if you're like a D&D player, you kind of understand how the dice rolls work behind it, but it just does not translate well to a video game.
Not at all.
Like, at all. When you go in and like your whole party of five miss all their first attacks on like a sleeping person or whatever, you're just like, well...
It
fucking sucks. So yeah, I switched to easy because I want to play it more for the story. I'm mostly there just to experience a really good story with branching stuff and building a city,
but that's
which is really good.
Like, I don't know. Yeah, the combat is... I don't know how to feel about it. Yeah. I like the idea of it, but it feels like... There isn't when you like line up an action for them to do, like you want them to cast a spell.
Yeah, it's
it goes into like a cooldown thing, even if it's like your first like turn in battle sort of thing.
Yes. So my thought for this is I think they've tried too hard to kind of please everybody. Because they put all the statistics in from like Pathfinder and right, which is all a very turn-based thing, and then tried to adapt it to this real-time combat, and it just doesn't work.
But that's the thing. Like, it doesn't... I would prefer that the combat does more of a... Divinity Original Sin style.
Yeah, that's turn-based, isn't it?
Well, I feel like it's more real. Oh, yeah, I guess it is.
It's extremely turn-based.
Yeah, I guess it is turn-based.
Like, yes, but you have your initiative order and everything, but, like, that's the point, though. Like, Divinity Original Sin, it has the whole stat base and stuff and does kind of what D&D does.
Mm.
But it doesn't try, it's not like, yeah, it's not trying to make this a please everybody kind of thing. It's just like, we know what we are. This is how the combat needs to be for it to be enjoyable.
I think I would maybe make it. No, like, I know, I think, I know, I think I'd prefer it to be like a turn-based thing.
I do as well.
I'm trying to find like a middle ground where it's like, it's a bit, okay, I think if it started off with being a little bit more obvious whose initiative is what, for instance, still in real time. Maybe. So even if there was just like a list, a combat list of like, this is when this person's going and blah, 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 blah.
It definitely uses initiative because you can get a perk for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really bad.
And just so that, like, you've got that list of going, okay, like, I'll put this, like, I'll line up this person's skill, like, and get them to do that, and then, you know, I know, and it make it more obvious when it's the next turn.
I super agree.
Because I often find that I'm, like, standing there or, like, playing it out, waiting for, you know, like, the next round sort of thing, and it's not bloody clear.
No, it is not.
So if you're going to make it a turn, like, everybody has an initiative and has to, like, act in order, then make it obvious when I can, like, reschedule skills or make them stackable so that I can be like, do this spell, then do this spell, then do this spell.
That would be awesome. Also, the AI for the NPCs is like on your side is really bad.
Yeah.
Because they only use their basic attack or cantrips. They never like try and actually work out the situation.
Yeah.
So if you just want to play your character, like your NPCs are just going to be rootin' terrible.
Yeah. Or, I mean, you can. The other thing, you can right click on abilities and make them that base attack.
Yeah, but then if they've only got like three of those for the day, then they just go back to basic.
Exactly. Attacking. Yes. But that was my point. Like, you can kind of change it a little bit, but at the same time, like, I don't know. It doesn't give you a lot of good options for if you don't want to absolutely micromanage your entire party.
Yep.
And a lot of me doesn't because I don't want to play a cleric.
I like micromanaging my character.
Yeah.
Which I think is a lot of people. I don't want to play
a cleric. Or a whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I don't.
It's called an Inquisitor?
Anyway. No, there's a cleric.
I know. We combat is hard.
That's the other thing.
Yep.
The classes have so many similar fucking skills. I have so many people on my team that can charge.
It's because anyone who is holding a melee weapon can charge. It's not a skill.
That should be a skill.
No, that's just part of like D&D 3.5 and Pathfinder rules. If you are holding a melee weapon, it's an ability that you have to be able to charge.
A lot of people have. Well, okay, I'm assuming this is going to be the same case then. Like treat ailment or whatever it is.
Yep, exactly. It's like the medicine check in D&D 5.
Okay.
But this is my point that for someone who knows the rules of like the tabletop, I'm like, yeah, those things make sense. But for someone who has no idea, they're like, what is this? Like you just experienced then.
Well, I thought charge was a thing, like a feat that you could take.
In D&D 5, it's a feat.
Oh, that would be why.
In D&D 3.5, anyone could do it.
Okay.
So that's why that is.
I haven't played 3.5 in ages.
Yeah, Pathfinder is just 3.5 on steroids, basically.
Right. But even still, I'm also talking about spells as well.
Yes.
Like a lot of them have the same spells, which makes my character like pointless.
Yeah, it does. It's the same with the others though. Like it's same with the tabletop, like wizards, sorcerers and all that get the same list of spells.
No, I know, but it feels like there should be way more. It feels like I'm looking through exactly the same list.
Yep. Do you pick a lot of... Well, I've noticed that the spells that auto level are a lot of damage dealing spells and not some of the playmaking kind of spells. So there's not sleeps and stuff like that. So if everyone picks the damage spells or auto levels the damage spells, everyone's going to have the same list. You're not going to have like the wizard that's really good at like controlling the enemy, like the like.
No, I'm talking about if I'm looking through the spell list to choose what spells I'm leveling, they're all the same. Like even if it's a wizard and a sorcerer and a like, it doesn't.
Wizard, sorcerer, and magus use the same spell list. Inquisitor and something else would use the same spell list as well.
But wizards get their own spells.
Nope. And even in D&D.
I'm pretty sure.
Five, they have the.
There are spells that only.
How they cast them and how they can store them are differently, but they have the same spell list, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, let's get onto a positive note on it. I think the story is amazing so far. I really enjoy what they've done with it, the whole traveling around kind of thing. This is coming from Pillars of Eternity, where I just felt like the world felt a bit empty. There was like seven locations kind of deal, even though I didn't finish it. But like it was hard to get through it. Whereas Pathfinder Kingmaker, now that I've put it down to an easier difficulty, I'm really looking forward to like every time that I play it, which is a nice feeling for a game. Do you have anything else you want to add to this?
Not really.
Fair enough.
I don't think so.
We'll move on. So Minecraft Dungeons got announced. Not too much about it so far, but it's coming to PC 2019. It looks to be like a four-person... it's an adventure dungeon crawler, but it's going to be four-person co-op from what I can only assume based on their trailer. And, yeah, I think that's really cool. It's going to sell well. I think it was, like, I saw something today as well that Minecraft is only outsold by Tetris. Like, for games sold ever.
Weird.
Well, Tetris, when you had the 80s and there was three games, Tetris, Pac-Man, and whatever the other one was or whatever,
mm-hmm.
It's not hard to be, like, number one selling, right?
Because
that's what it's competing with. And the legacy of, like, Tetris today still probably sells. Yeah, but
you
also
didn't have the popularity of gaming that you have today.
That's very true. That is very true. But even with the popularity of gaming, I know a lot of people that don't play or even sort of know what Minecraft is, but know what Tetris is. So there's amongst like the hardcore gamers, I think everyone knows what Minecraft is, but people that don't game know what Tetris is.
Yeah. I mean, it's been around for longer. So.
Yeah. So that's where I'd leave that. I think it's really good that they're doing this, but at the same time, I am so sick of the art style. Like the whole cube thing.
The block thing.
Just because like so many games have done it after since Minecraft, the voxel graphics, and it's hard for me to keep looking at. Like we played a bit of Minecraft this week actually. Well, I did, sorry, you haven't. And even like it's fun, but I was just like, God damn.
Let's get a texture pack.
I do. It's hard to do it with the mod packs because texture packs usually only adhere to the vanilla standard. So when you get all the extra blocks added, they don't match with the mod packs you have on.
Yeah, that's true.
So
some accommodate it.
Some accommodate some of the mod packs in the massive mod pack you get. But
well, it depends. If you're playing a popular... Oops. That is vibrating.
Yeah, that was loud.
If you're playing a popular mod pack, generally you're fine.
Yeah. I haven't found one that covers all of it yet. And like, because like there's different ones, there's like Infinity and stuff. We're getting very off topic.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, Minecraft Dungeons should have texture packs. That's what it needs. The trailer actually, it did look really good. Like they definitely put lots of effects and 4K textury stuff into it, which is good. But is the actual game going to look like that, or is it going to look like normal Minecraft?
Who's to say? So is this a separate game to Minecraft or an add-on to Minecraft?
I'm fairly certain it's a separate game.
Right. So you like can't be playing normal Minecraft and also playing dungeons.
No, I'm
like, there's not going to be like dungeons in your world that you could go do if you wanted.
There might be as like a cross promotion thing, because I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. But I think it's going to be, well, no, it is advertised as a second game. Like, it's coming in 2019. It's not like the rest of the patches that they do.
Coming to PC.
Yeah, it is coming to PC. And it very much looks like they're going to use a class system, other generic adventure game things, which just doesn't work with the whole Minecraft thing. Well, that Minecraft as it is now.
I'm going to be a wizard.
What a surprise.
Well, you can't really do that stuff in Minecraft.
Yeah.
Like, you've got spell books and stuff or whatever, but...
Well, you can in the mods, but not in...
Yeah.
Vanilla Minecraft, like, very much relies, for me, on mods. I just can't get into vanilla Minecraft anymore.
Well, it's gone too far now.
Like, they do update it and we've patch it, but, like...
flown too close to the sun.
With each of their patches, I'm like, you guys could have added a lot more, and...
We've had a glimpse at paradise, and we can never go back.
Anyway, let's move on. Lone Echo 2. So this is a game developed by the Oculus Studio, so the people that make the Oculus Rift.
Mm.
It is.
Don't know why I said that like it was a delicious thing, but I.
Delicious Oculus.
Delicious.
It looks good. It looks very high quality. To me, it's kind of good to start seeing these high-quality games made for VR. Like, the whole point, because it's made by Oculus, everything about it's just like, well, it's not going to be on a normal non-VR device.
Yeah.
So there's not going to be that crossover. Because, like, when you play something like Skyrim or...
There's no need to try and adapt it for both.
Yeah, because they're very different mediums.
Because that never works.
Well, it works. So if you've got a normal game and add VR to it, like, it sort of works, but there's always that missing feeling to it.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, it doesn't work. Like, well,
sort of.
You can do it, but it's not going to be fantastic.
Yes.
And, like, vice versa, if you try and put an Oculus thing on a normal platform, like, it's just not going to be as immersive.
Do you know the thing that feels the most immersive just by adding VR is racing car games?
Yes.
Which is unsurprising, but, like, yeah, it's just so weird that you can add so much to that type of game.
Or flight simulators.
Look, that's already taking so much away from your life. That's let's not go there. I think it was Microsoft Flight Sim or something once when I was younger, and I was just like, how do people do this?
This is fun.
It's like train simulators to me.
Well, that's why people get paid a lot of money. To fly planes, I mean.
Yeah, I was like, what, to make simulator games?
Yeah, they are the bomb.
Anyway, yeah, Lone Echo 2. Let's get back to that. But no, yeah, simulator games. So it's really good to see that they're making a much bigger investment into, I guess, making games that are more in the medium. What is sad about that, though, is there's going to be a much bigger divide between games and VR and normal games. It'll be hard to have one system that does, like, kind of everything.
Yeah.
Though you get your Oculus Rift for your PC, but it's...
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it will split it up a bit.
Once again, the PC comes out on top.
Always. Oculus are releasing something called the Oculus Quest, which is a standalone system which has...
come on now.
You don't need a PC for, and it's got the whole 6 degrees of movement kind of stuff.
So it's just a console.
It's basically a console on your head.
Yeah.
Now, they're very much advertising it like, oh, you can do everything on it. From this is the marketing that I saw. You can, like, play the games on it. The two things that I think people need to keep aware of is that, one, games have to be ported to it because it's not a PC. It can't just run the PC games.
Mm.
So games have to be ported to it like it's a console. Secondly, it's not going to be as good as a computer running with an Oculus because it's going to be a much smaller form factor with
It's just not going to have the power.
Yeah, it's not going to have the power. So I think a lot of people are going to, unless they be really honest about it, but.
Which they won't.
Yeah, on a scale of something to false marketing. So I think it's really good that they're going to start doing it. Like, everything has to start somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it'll start here. Because the day that you can just have a headset and not need the PC would be great. But
I don't think so.
I just got this thought in my head. I was like, yeah, but you could be like out somewhere and just play your Oculus. There's just some guy out in the forest playing a game.
Where the fuck am I? How did I get here?
That's so good.
Yeah, I don't know. Because then you're going to start getting, like, if you have a separate console for the Oculus, then you're going to get, like, it's just, like, another thing that you have to have set up, you know, if you want to play it.
Yeah, and that's not great, but.
That's why I think if you just kept it? If you kept it.
Kept it, bro.
If you kept it with just PC, you just put it into your PC that you've already got set up.
Not and everyone has a PC.
I know, but everyone should.
I disagree with you.
But I mean, like, okay, so for instance, you're not going to have it set up on your Xbox anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, just keep it on PC.
Mm.
Because, like, if you have PC, then you have PC games, right? So you already got it set up for your PC games. So just keep the Oculus with the PC. It makes it so much easier.
Well, I think they're still going to do that. Like, any game that they make, it'll still be on PC as well to run with the Oculus.
Yeah, until they start getting, you know, like...
greedy.
Like with any console, they'll have exclusives that are on just the console.
I love that Xbox isn't doing that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
That's exactly my point. And because then you started off with the Oculus on the PC and they start doing all of this specific to the console thing, then you're going to have to go out and buy the console, even though you've got a perfectly functioning thing on your PC.
Yeah, that would suck. What I foresee is that not happening, though, because they'll still have the Oculus headset for PC and they'll allow it to run in both. I don't know if this is still a thing, but they were, like, locking it so games would only run in Oculus and not in the Vive. That's kind of how I see it going.
Right.
Because the Oculus headset's still dearer than the standalone thing.
Who does Oculus?
Oculus does Oculus. They were bought by Facebook.
Okay.
But they're still their thing. HTC Vive was a joint thing by HTC and Valve, but I know HTC's like sort of gone under and is very irrelevant. So I'm not sure if Valve just...
We're just calling it the Vive now.
Yeah.
Valve Vive.
Sounds not too bad. But I want to look that up, actually. I've not looked into it too much. Yeah, so again, bit off topic. But it is...
it's all relevant.
It's relevant to Lone Echo 2. So it's a game in space that it seems like you're some sort of AI intelligence where...
A roboto.
Yeah, you're the El Roboto. You're the one Spanish robot to survive in space.
Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto.
That's just bad. So I think it looks very... Not.
Hang on, Lone Echo 2, does that obviously means there's a Lone Echo 1, right?
Yeah, probably. Is it even Lone Echo 2? Did I just mistype that? No, it's definitely Lone Echo 2. Maybe there's a Lone Echo 1, I don't know.
It's either going to be one of those like just terrible games that never got its... like,
or it's this masterpiece that I don't know about.
Well, no, I doubt that would be the case. Or it's going to be like one of the early 80s, like one of the very first like pixelated games sort of thing. And they've taken this concept.
Yeah.
And done something else completely. So it's like you could not go back and play Lone Echo 1.
That would be weird.
I don't know. Those are my theories, because generally these days, if it's something like this and it's number two and you've not heard of number one, it's generally because, like, number one is so old.
Yes. It's very, not atmospheric, but, like, kind of, it looks Walker Sim kind of thing. So you know how, like, those games, like, you just walk around lots, walking simulators, they call them.
Yes.
That being said, it looks like it has a really good interactive, like, the story interacts with you. You're not just an observer like you are in a lot of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And that being, and this is just the first trailer that I've seen. Maybe there is going to be, like, combat and other stuff in it. Don't know yet.
Yeah, I don't imagine that it wouldn't have combat.
I don't know, because you're on, like, an abandoned space station or something. We'll find out more. I'm keen to see. I don't have any VR headsets, but I'm keen to see how this goes, because I'm very keen to see more development go into it and make it more of a mainstream thing, because that's when you'll get start getting really good games for it.
Yeah.
Like, really purpose-built games for the VR experience. Yep. You're looking at the Lone Echo thing, aren't you?
I'm looking it up. Because I just needed to know, and it looks like it's actually a sing, like, it was made on the Oculus.
Like Lone Echo?
Yeah.
One. Maybe it was, like, one of the games that they debuted with or something?
Very possible.
The other thing I was thinking, that maybe it was, like, a space station, like Lone Echo 2, like, you know how, I have seen some, it's very rare, because using numbers like
this is better. Like, it's a first game of the series, but, like, the station is number two. So.
Yeah, like Metro 33, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, which I think was the name of a train or something. That kind of stuff, which is fine. It just gets confusing when you use two, because two, you're like, where's one?
Yeah, exactly.
If it's like an outrageous number, like, oh, yeah, you know, bouncy bounce 55, you'd be like, there's definitely not 54 other bouncy bounces.
There could be. It was last year, July 20 last year it was released.
Huh.
So done by obviously the same developer, Oculus Studios publisher.
I'm gonna look into that. I'm sure it won't look as good as this, but I will. Let's move on. So last year, not last year as in the year previous, but a game called Last Year. It is
ironically released in 2017.
Well, no, it's not out yet. It's a 5v1 game. Now, I don't like these games, and I'll go into the reasons of that in a bit. But this one looks all right. I'm hoping that they, because it looks like they put a bit of polish into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's set in a high school, and you a Halloween party, and it's like your last year of high school. Unironically, from the name of the game, and you got five different people. There's like the nerd, the jock, the cheerleader. I can't remember the other two.
Stereotype number three.
Yeah, the stereotypes, and there's three different. From what I've seen from the trailer and what I looked up, there's three different like kind of murderers that you can be.
Oh, so it's exactly like that Halloween horror one.
It is, but it looks like it's gonna be. It's very much set in the stereotype rather than because the other one's like kind of like a Jason sort of thing, isn't it? Like it's not.
Yeah, you
it
can
is.
Be the what the fuck is it called?
I don't know.
What it was the.
You think about it while I keep talking.
What is the game called?
Dead by Daylight.
Oh yeah, I think that might be it.
So yeah, that's a game. This one, however, what I like about what they've done with the what do you call the enemy? Like the I guess we'll just because technically either side you are, the other team is the enemy. But if you're the one enemy, not the five enemies,
you're talking about like the antagonist versus the protagonist.
I mean, that's all subjective. To the antagonist, he is the protagonist in his own story. And this isn't told from the story point of view, so neither are the protagonist or the antagonist. Just being technical.
That's what I'm asking. You said there's a name for it, and I'm
yeah, that,
asking
that is
if
exactly
that's
what
you
what
meant.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was just being stupid. He can do a few different things. So, yes, he can just go attack them, but he can go into, like, a stalker mode where he hunts them down and, lays traps and sets up that kind of stuff. And on the other side, the other team has like a planning mode where they kind of plan how they're going to get through it. And I don't know if they have to escape or kill the enemy. Or it's probably both.
There's probably several terms of victory. You could either kill the enemy or escape or...
So,
wait out rescue maybe or something.
This might be the first one of these that I actually give a go because I like the concept, but they've all just made it really bad. The reason it's really bad as well. If you're playing with a group of friends, none of you are ever going to be the one person. That basically has to be someone playing by themselves. Well, it doesn't have to be, but if you're like playing with your friends and they're all talking, they're like, yeah, we don't want to be on chat with you while you're the bad guy. Kind of thing.
No. So, yeah, so you're going to sit by yourself. Or here's the thing. I've seen people play it.
Yep.
Where the bad guy is in the, like, voice chat with them.
Yes.
And so it's funny. Like, there is comedy in the way that people try to communicate with each other without letting on, like, the enemy. And yeah. It's also funny to watch them like talk to one another, like when he like sort of sees them or is chasing them or is trying to find them and like they're close by sort of thing.
Yep. All right.
So there is,
I think for people who do streaming and stuff, that might be the case, but yeah. For like a normal group of friends who just want to play the game, like that's not going to be the, it's rare that that's going to be the case.
I think that would be the case.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd find it so like
I don't think.
I think I play with people though, like me and Sam, who would like if we were the two people, not well, if we were not the one ring to kill them all. No, if we were not the antagonist, we'd really want to plan it out and make sure we try and win, because that would kind of be our fun thing.
I guess see it being like. It would be fun to take it very seriously. And
it depends what you're looking for, right?
Yeah.
The experience you're looking for.
Like, I think, yes, that would be fun, but I think there's also fun in playing it all together. And there's not to say that you can't, like, if there is a planning phase,
yeah,
like, you know, the person could leave the voice channel and then come back in once you're done, and then you can play.
Yeah. So
do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do get it. There's a lot of what ifs there. I just think from a game design perspective of like a party game, it's hard to.
It would be fun if you had like two bad guys.
Well, Left 4 Dead allowed there to be four. So there was the four people going through the party and then four people could play in the versus mode as the bad guys. And they came as like the super bad, but they only came one at a time.
Mm.
That it was rare that they got to like team up, because the way Left 4 Dead worked was you would go through and then like a boomer would come up or something like that. And how that worked was one of the enemy players was controlling that boomer.
Mm.
And then the next one would control like the tongue guy, or like it kind of worked like that. And I actually found that really fun and still very even, and you could have like 4v4 and it would be fun.
Yeah. I just meant for, like, voice chat-wise. Then you'd have, like, two people in one channel and four people or however many people in another channel.
Yeah, it would still make it cooperative. Yep, yeah, I get
and then
it.
You could rotate it around.
Yeah, that would be good. I'd really like that.
You know, each round, like, then, okay, another two people are going to be the bad guy. You know, and then that way, like, you're still playing with everyone and nobody is excessively excluded.
I agree. So... this game, last year, is set in Halloween 1996. So it's got a very high school American movie tropiness to it.
96. I wonder why they went with 96.
To be honest, it's probably to do with football or something. Like, that was a big thing then.
Why would that? That wouldn't be true.
It could be. Like
80s Halloween, that's where it was at.
I don't know the difference, to be honest. I'm sure you can go look up the game as to why they did that.
Mm.
Maybe they needed the height of cell phone technology to make the game believable.
Well, yeah, I could imagine they would need some sort of tech.
In the trailer, there are people looking like working things out on screens and stuff on a PC thing. So that makes sense. All right. That is it for the games that we have coming out or have to talk about. So let's go on to some more talkative points. Divinity Original Sin 2. Now, we were talking about this. The company that makes that, Larian, the lead dev, I can never remember his name. It's Sven something, I believe. It's a cool name, actually. He spoke out, or he was in an interview where he said that Steam's really good and allows the creative freedom of devs. He likes it because it means less publisher control, because it used to be in the world where, before Steam, where it was really hard for people to get their game published because they kind of were the gatekeepers of what they thought was right for the world to see. Mm. Whereas Steam's approach is, you can do anything you want, and if the audience likes it, audience likes it.
Yeah. Otherwise, people will hate it and you won't get anything.
So thought we'd talk a bit on that. My opinions, I actually agree mostly with him. It does allow creative freedom, takes control away from the publishers, which is really good. The points I have against it, though, is without any curation like Steam does, so much crap gets through, that, which isn't bad for people that already have a big name and have like the marketing budget and stuff, their game can go through it fine. But if you're like some guy who's making a game in your basement, and you could be making something really good that a lot of people will enjoy, but if it gets pushed out of the new games list like in an hour, then what can you do? It's just an unfortunate...
Well,
what?
I don't know. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
No, please do. Please play devil's advocate.
You could argue that it would still possibly come up in people's recommended. You know, if there's... I haven't even really looked at the Steam store, like, for this purpose, but I'm pretty sure... Is there some sort of, like, weekly roundup or something of...
No. You can rely on curators to do that. So they've got the Steam curators thing where people add stuff to their own list and you can look through that. Like, I can't remember any... I know there's a Commander Shepard guide that comes up frequently and he uses the Mass Effect Commander Shepard, but he, like, reviews games and puts them in his curated list. So there's that. But you have to rely on them seeing you in, like, that hour that you've got the store for until you're pushed out.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not saying that it's not possible. I'm saying there's probably been a few cases where there would have been a game that would have done a lot better if there wasn't so many, and we've already discussed this, but bogus games coming up, whereas like someone might not think it's bogus, but.
I mean, I can only assume that they'd still come up in like new releases, right? If someone was looking for like, hey, what are the new games that have come out, right?
No.
You'd come up in that.
If you kept going down the list, there's like 50 games a day getting released.
Right. But like I'm saying, like if you were looking through that list, they would come up, right?
But no one does. That's my point. Like,
well, you don't know what no one does.
Okay, majority of people. Let's talk of the majority of people that use Steam. You go to your front page and...
You don't know the majority of people.
I am talking about... I read a lot of marketing stuff about how to market on Steam and stuff like that. So I actually have a little bit of an idea of what I'm talking about for the generic Steam user. The generic Steam user usually won't go into that list. There's two lists on the front page. That is new releases. Popular new releases. They don't show all new releases, only the popular ones. And top selling. Top selling could be any game. It doesn't matter if it's new released or not. So it would have to, like, the top 10 top selling of this week or whatever it is. Now, if your game is brand new and doesn't make it to the... popular new releases, that's the one. Now, popular new releases I actually really like. It usually filters out a lot of the crap because people don't buy a lot of the crap. But if I wanted to go to all new releases, you'll see all the stuff that you just do not want to see. And Steam's actually gotten a little bit better at filtering out because like the community filters it out by not buying it. But if you're just some no-name dev who... And this is an argument for you should probably get a bit better at marketing and stuff. But if you are just some no-name thing who does have like something they put a lot of effort into and is arguably a good game or a well-made game, it can be pushed out and you might just give up on your dream because of that zero curation. So
Well, and if you're going to get into that sort of thing, then yeah, you got to get better at marketing. Like, you can't just be like, oh, I'm just a developer, and if I put the game out there, people.
I agree that that person should get better at marketing, but I also agree that Steam shouldn't let that kind of stuff that pushes everything down a list all be on there as well. I think it's not a Steam has to do all the work for that person, but Steam shouldn't do none of it. Like, they have a store and they should do something about it. Well, so our next point, good old industry talk. Telltale has been hit with a class action lawsuit. I can't remember the exact specifics of the class action lawsuit because I am not a lawyer, but I will give you the dot points. They essentially, because people, there was, it's been reported that people were working till 3 a.m. and then the next day got the news about being let go, whatever they call it in America. And what that means is, because there were a company over 100 people, over 100 employees, they fall under some category where they have to give 60 days notice if they're letting go 30 or more people, and they didn't do that. So there's a people wanting that 60 days of pay and everything that comes with that.
Well, you're not going to get that.
Yeah, so there are people saying, like, do they even have the money to give them? Like, are these people wasting their time?
See, I don't actually know how that would work.
I don't either. Because
I think legally, without knowing everything about it.
Well, the company has filed for bankruptcy.
No, but I meant, like, without knowing the logistics of whether they're, like, a company or a business or a blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, if they do legally have to give the notice, then yes, they do legally have to pay for the salaries. But if they can't pay, I don't know where that money comes from or how it works. Or, like, I can see that, like, if they're filing for bankruptcy, they obviously don't have the money to pay for the 60 days for everyone. But that doesn't mean they shouldn't have to, or that those people shouldn't get money of some sort of compensation.
Yes.
So where the fuck that comes from, no idea.
Well, with the whole bankruptcy thing, I think they'll have to sell off their licenses and stuff. That would make some money, and then they would have to give it to those people once the money came in, kind of thing.
Yeah, but I don't know that.
Other notes, though, is that some people think that Telltale will use the defense of, like, oh, we didn't know we were going to be bankrupt, because if you literally don't know, then, like, you can't give 60 days notice. But it's the sort of thing that, like, how...
See, they'd have to...
they'll have the more expensive lawyers. That's what they'll have.
Maybe. I mean, they're bankrupt.
That's a good point.
No, but, like, to do that, to try and pull that angle, they'd have to... Like, I just don't think they could do it unless... there was some sort of massive loss to the company that happened, like, that week.
So they were kind of already, here's the fun bit. They were already, like, running on, like, not very much money, and they were waiting for a new big deal to come through on a new license. Cause that what they did was really bad. They ran from license to license. So they would get heaps of money from a funder to say, oh, make this license into a story game and share the profits, kind of thing. They would rely on that to pay for their next thing, and then next, they never kind of
had a secure income.
Yeah, they never built up something to kind of, like, fall back on. Mm. They always were just looking for the next thing, and that because they grew too big, too fast, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, we made lots of money from this game. All right, we'll hire 30 more people and do two things next time, rather than being like, all right, we'll still do one thing and
try something else.
And
and
be a bit safe with it. So the argument is, if they knew they weren't on much and that they needed this deal to survive, then they knew.
Yeah, exactly. Like there would need to be some sort of, like, ridiculous, like, building fire where, like, all of their
IP was lost.
Yeah. Like,
and for some reason they didn't have backups.
Yeah.
In the cloud. Did you know the cloud's in the sky? I thought it was in server rooms.
Go figure. and like just something so out of the blue that they could not have foreseen this. If they were, it depends on who you're talking about as well. Are you talking about the initial people that they laid off or the whole company in the second round?
I'm not sure which, because
there's no way that they could try and say for the second lot of people that they didn't know that they were going towards bankruptcy.
That's a good point.
Because they'd already laid off people. Then, and it's just, there's just no way that they could get away with it. I don't think.
I want to side with you on this, but I'm going to play devil's advocate and say, you know, companies get away with a lot of stupid shit that they shouldn't. And I could super see this being one of those things. Like, the company may not have money to pay for a good lawyer, but like the CEOs and the people that founded it, who probably have like been taking money for a long time, probably have the money to fund a lawyer so they can get any more sales from licenses later on.
Possibly. Look, I'm just saying it's going to be, I'm not saying they can't prove it. I'm saying it's going to be a hell of a time for them trying to prove that they didn't know, or that they weren't at in some way like suspicious, not suspicious, but like aware of the fact that they were in trouble and heading that way.
Yeah, I think.
And if they were like, oh, yeah, we thought we could pull out of it sort of thing, it's like, well, then you're not really making, like you're still aware of it and you aren't making the right financial decisions. Like what you should have done is when you first started not having the income that you needed, that was when you needed to start lightly laying off people.
Yeah.
And lowering your costs of things. And you could have then had the time to give them the notice.
Yeah.
Rather than waiting till the last minute when you're like, oh shit, yeah, we literally can't pay you tomorrow.
Now, that would suck, by the way, for all those developers. Just like, oh, I'm not getting paid next week. Thanks. That being said, if you're a game developer, you should save your first 42 weeks of income because you know you're going to get fired on week 43.
Yeah.
That is unfortunately the market. So I think that's all this week for what I've got for us to talk about. What have you been playing this week?
Kingmaker.
Yep. Did you play anything else? Oh, we played Life is Strange too.
We did play Life is Strange.
A small bit of it. We're going to play more this week, but oh, I can already tell it's going to hit us in the feels.
Yeah, you're already too attached.
Oh, to the dad. Let's not give away spoilers because there's probably a lot of people who haven't played it. But yeah, it really like in like the first half an hour, it's just like, all right, these are the characters that look. They're amazingly nice people. And they're not going to make it.
It's, yeah, it's like, it was literally like, oh, it's going to suck when you die.
Yeah, like, but like, even knowing that, you're still just like, I want you to be around.
You're going
to
die, but I don't want you to, and I'm growing attached even though I know I shouldn't.
And they're dead.
Oh, we can say, well, no.
I think we should just, if you want to know about the story, you can watch our Let's Play. Other than that, for people wanting the game news, I don't think we'll give much away about it.
Yeah.
Because, like, our talk about Pathfinder Kingmaker wasn't giving anything away. That was just literally the mechanics of the game.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So, there's that. I've started playing the Infinity Mod Minecraft again with a few friends. That is fun because I like building stuff. The mods are good.
I don't like playing with you.
On Minecraft?
I'm just putting it out there.
Why?
Because you, like, you charge through everything and you end up, like, mining everything out. And then, like, you're over in my area, like, collecting resources and stuff and, like.
I promise not to go in your area.
And it's just, it's too hard to try and, like, be in it, like, get your own kind of area when you're playing, because you just, like, take over.
I promise not to go in your area. I understand that in Terraria. I'm really bad with Terraria.
Then you suddenly, like, as well, like, you just, like, make all of this armor and, like, jetpacks and, you know, and everything, like, and, like, I'm just trying to, like, get through my stuff and you're like, oh, here, like, here's a bunch of stuff. And it's like, I don't get to do anything for myself.
Fine. I will be Galactic Star-Lord from, what's that Marvel thing? Galactic, no, Galaxy something. Guardians of the Galaxy.
I don't know what you're going
Guardians with. Of the Galaxy. I'll be Star-Lord from that and you can be like Groot.
What do you want about?
Groot is the tree. He has no armor.
I know, but what are you on about?
Star-Lord has lots of cool fancy jetpacks and stuff. He's whatever the main character's name is. Chris Pratt. He calls himself Star-Lord in it.
Yeah, he doesn't have anything fancy. He has like a normal set of clothes.
It's better than nothing. Anyway. Yeah, that's what I've been playing. I don't think we've been playing too much else. And I finished Rise of the Tomb Raider, but we talked about that last week. I still haven't gotten Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which I want to get. And yeah, so yeah, we'll catch you next week. Thank you all for listening.